How about those Hebrew National hot dogs, though?
What do you mean?
We had
Hebrew Nationals instead of the Nathan's dogs.
Well, yeah, because it's I hate it. Cause they're good hot dogs and everything, but
no, they're great. I honestly think they're better than the Nathan's
dogs. You get fucking seven dogs in a pack,
right?
And it's you get eight buns usually in a pack,
right?
So they really chew you on the.
It's written down.
That's written out. See, I did that. We can cross that out.
It's written out.
Cross out.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do our best not to reference the outline.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I thought that would be a good opening bit.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Shit, welcome to the Green and Gold Show!
Yeah!
We're in South Slope Studios in Brooklyn, New York. Oh my god, we're pumped. My name is Matt Gifford. This is Chris motherfucking Welton.
Yeah!
And this is Matthew motherfucking Leathers.
What's up, buddies?
And Michael motherfucking Dwyer is out on business.
Oh, Mickey's not here.
He has to work. He has a high-paying job.
I know Coldplay.
I'm a skilled animator. I've got to make a lot of money doing what I do successfully.
Really cool business cards.
I got to drink while I work and have a good life. That's what Mickey's doing tonight.
We are
on a high this evening after a tumultuous win over the Atlanta Falcons last night.
No one can beat us.
We ended up with a 25-14 final score, and it was heart wrenching.
First half was terrible.
It was terrible. We went the first quarter. We went 0-7 when it came to points. They got the one touchdown. And then in the second quarter, they got another fucking touchdown, and we didn't respond with points at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh boy, was it a different second half. That was something else. We went and did 25 points unanswered.
That's basically pretty awesome.
Basically, once they stopped scoring, we continued to score, and they did not score again for the rest of the game.
Well, and if you think about it, too, like the Ryan Grant fumble that did lead to 7 points,
right?
If that, which we were driving... And if that didn't happen and we would have scored on that,
it would have been completely
imagine like what the, I mean, that would have been a completely different game. It would have just ended up being a blowout if the, but I mean, who's to say if the defense would keep playing the way they
honestly played. We had, it was, I think the rockiness of the first half was all due to, Ryan Grant dropping that, JerMichael Finley, dropping 3 passes. I don't know if
all not all the first half, but he dropped two
in the first half. And then
stuff
also,
that he catches.
We were catching those sacks on Rodgers.
Yeah, that Witherspoon, stupid spoon move.
Oh, the stupid spoon move.
I hate, just because his last name has a spoon in it.
You want to do your sound effect?
Oh, yeah.
Again?
That's
what he does, I think. But I still hate him. Like, he didn't do it when he got injured.
Right.
Which I was upset about.
Well, I don't know why. I think it's because of last season, not the playoff game, but the regular season game against the Falcons when we ended up losing. Gonzalez.
Oh, I hate him.
Fucking made that quote-unquote catch that the ball forced into his abdomen because he's fucking terrible. And he's just a cocky fuck.
Well, it wasn't a catch. It hit the ground.
It wasn't a catch.
Obviously.
Yeah, it wasn't a catch.
But McCarthy didn't challenge it, and that's... They scored a touchdown on that drive,
and they
could have won that game.
Well, this is what I thought found interesting. Even though I fucking hate that guy, I was sent a clip on Facebook today, or maybe it was last night. I don't know, but it was sent a clip on Facebook about referencing his. You know how they do the little intros, the graphic intros at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
I don't know what I think you like.
He
was
did
the university.
He did a question mark.
Yeah, he did a question mark thing.
I'm Tony Gonzalez,
and I went to something.
Whatever school he got accepted into.
Yeah, and I just thought it was interesting that apparently he not only does he think he's an awesome, much better football player than he actually is, he thinks he's funny.
He is probably one of the best tight ends ever played the game.
Top three tight end,
but I fucking hate him. Like I do hate him, and he annoys me. But he is one of the best tight ends ever.
Yeah, okay, I agree. But I agree. But at the same time, it's the same reason I hate Brian Urlacher.
Yeah, exactly. His barbed wire tattoo, which is like the... Sorry.
And I don't want him to be good, and he threatens me, and that's why I shit on him. I shit on his abilities. But But yes, Brian Urlacher and his terrible tattoo. Brian, also.
He reminds me of a guy in high school that I used to be really scared of that wanted to beat me up.
Really?
Like, he reminds me exactly of the... And that guy now that I went to high school with is a... He's a Ultimate Fighter guy.
Nice.
So he was definitely very scary. He looked like Brian Urlacher in high school.
So he's a white guy with a shaved head?
Yeah. Probably with a barbed wire tattoo.
Muscles. To be fair, they give those out at birth. Like, I don't think that... That wasn't even really his choice.
Yeah.
It's like a circumcision.
It's like an Oklahoma.
It's actually a birthmark.
Yeah.
Nice. Perfect. Nice. All right. So, overall, we had Rodgers for 396 yards.
It was a quiet 396 yards.
It really was.
I didn't realize that until they... Well, obviously, until at the end of the game and they said it.
They threw that
set. What? He threw 300... And he would have thrown for... Would have Finley caught those balls, too. I mean...
They had a good 30 yards dropped.
Yeah, it's... Like, he would have had back-to-back 400-yard games.
And he had, like, a sneaky... I don't remember the exact number. He had around 130 or 150 in the first half, and they had nothing to show for it.
They couldn't
close it.
No, when they showed the comparative stats between Ryan and Rodgers, he was beating Ryan in the stats, but we didn't have any points to show for it at all.
You know who did have points? Crosby.
Yeah, he did. He got me 15 in fantasy.
Yeah, he kept them in.
He got more points than Michael Turner.
Yeah, which is awesome.
It was great.
He had the three field goals, and he had
that 56-yarder was fucking huge. And deciding to kick that there too, was a really huge moment in the game.
Yeah,
I mean, like if they would have missed that, then they would have had Atlanta would have had great field position, and it was a solid kick too. Yeah. He could have made that from 60.
It was a tie for the franchise record at 56 yards.
Yeah.
And to be fair, this is the only time you'll be appreciative that Atlanta is in a dome.
Yeah. That was one thing that Mickey astutely pointed out. He was we were all very angry here the first half of the game, and one of the brighter insights of the evening was Mickey pointing out that Atlanta. I don't know why they're in a dome, but
they're in Atlanta. They had the ice game in the playoffs.
Yeah, but when every other team that's much tougher than them plays on raw, terrible fields with, not to mention names, with nails sticking out of them and things like that. But yeah, with much worse weather conditions. And they're
not a real team.
They're not a real team.
And their fans suck.
They're somewhere between the NFL and arena football. That's where I put the Atlanta Falcons.
Are all Atlanta fans of all sports, I think, are really shitty fans. Because, like, Braves games, too. Like, even when the Braves are, like, a playoff team, they still have a shit ton of empty seats.
Right.
Like, they're kind of...
They got spoiled.
They did. And they just gotten so used to their team losing, I think, in the playoffs, too.
I wonder if people don't support the team, the Braves specifically, because their mascot is racist.
They got rid of Chief Nakahoma.
I think they'd be for that.
They got rid of Chief Nakahoma a while
ago. I would like to think that they're supporting, the humanitarian cause, and that's why they're not doing that.
No one in Atlanta is doing that.
Good point.
They were definitely, like, after that, once Jennings got that touchdown, they just shut up.
Right.
They were quiet, and they didn't raise up. And Matty Ice didn't fucking do shit.
Right.
Like, they're like...
What was with the audibles and Matty Ice,
by the way? Oh, he caught a lot of olives.
There was a lot of olives.
That was his favorite audible, I think.
Did you know this?
They did not work.
If anybody in the NFL is listening, any other teams that are playing defense against the Atlanta Falcons for the rest of the season, any audible or any call called olive is... they're handing off to Michael Turner.
Yeah, that's what
they're doing. So go to him and shut him down. And that'll be that. Before the Greg Jennings touchdown, James Jones had the 70-yard touchdown where he just barely put one in there.
I got him back. That's the one I meant. That was the first one. That was when they were quiet.
That was the momentum shift.
Somebody wrote that the way that the fans were, it reminded them of the Tremont Williams interception, like the fan reaction, like going into the half. Like, that's what, like, they just shut up and they were deflated.
Right.
Deflated and defeated.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I meant to say defeated.
So then Greg Jennings again for the 29-yard touchdown, and then
that was sweet. Jennings made a fucking
he
say this year? I heard this, like, somewhere that he said that he's a better receiver than he gets credit for. in the NFL, that. And he is like he does it like no one. And he kind of proved it last night with that fucking. The guy is amazing, man.
Yeah,
I'm really. He's starting to become one of my favorite football players. Mm-hmm. Like he's so good, and just the yaks that he gets, the yards after the catch are just. Are amazing. Him and Jordy. Jordy's having a crazy year.
He's having a bang up year. Yeah. And then another little point that just on the stats of individual players, I thought this was interesting. This was listed on NFL.com that apparently Michael Turner had a 3.5 yards per carry average. And Starks,
a YPC, yeah.
Starks had a 3.3 YPC, which.
He was a quiet. He fucking worked for his yards last night.
It seems to me really overall. Did. Both between Rodgers' surprising yardage and Stark's almost equivalent yardage to Michael Turner, there was a lot of quiet action going on that just kind of went unnoticed.
Yeah, it was just because they weren't scoring.
Yeah.
And it was all, you know, three field goals.
Yeah.
And as far as, like, the plays that the Packers had on offense, I don't know if the... There was some really bad... We can get to the officiating now? Can we get into that?
Well, because
the officiating was terrible.
Sure, let's go to officiating. We'll do
that. Like, there was some stuff. But that really didn't affect the Packers scoring, though, the officiating.
Well...
It was a lot of...
I don't know that it affected the scoring, but it definitely affected the momentum of the game. Like, specifically with the... and this was later in the game, but that bullshit timeout, the timeout call, and we got the first down, but then they called it back because they apparently had called timeout.
Did we score on that drive?
I don't think, like I said, I don't think it necessarily affected our scoring. I don't know if we did or not.
But because they called a late timeout.
Right, they called a late timeout, and they called it back. They said it was a no play. And then what was exemplary of the terrible officiating was when he signaled the timeout, and he pointed
to...
Jeff Triplett pointed to pointed to Green Bay and said the Falcons called the timeout. And he didn't even know what end of the field he was supposed to be pointing to.
Mm-hmm.
That's how... utterly incapable that guy is at officiating. I'm not saying he shouldn't have a job. I'm just saying he should have a job dispensing water.
Jeff Triplett's the worst official in the league, right? Is he the guy that is like considered one in his crew? Like I think so. He's had a lot of fucking terrible calls.
I read a handful of articles today saying that thing. They were mostly complaining about all of the chop blocks and the...
That they weren't calling?
That and the all of the Manu Ginobili flopping that was happening.
What was that?
Wasn't getting called. Like when AJ Hawk barely pushed that guy and he fell behind 10 feet.
Oh, yeah, when he was acting. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like the most...
And Al Michaels even said she should win Best Supporting Actor for that.
Apparently that was happening more often than not. You just weren't seeing it. Apparently the Packers even knew... I'm trying to remember who said this. It may have been Starks or somebody. They were saying going into the game, they were expecting to get chop blocked and to have people falling down for no reason.
They don't call them dirty birds for nothing.
It actually happened. So it's like, and he had somebody, I don't remember who it was, had this great quote. Oh, no, it was BJ Raji. He said, it's like, well, when you have good players, you don't have to do that stuff. So I guess they had to just make up for nothing.
I love it.
It's like, there you go. Yeah. Makes perfect sense. You don't have to do that stuff if you're actually good at football.
Yeah. And can we stop calling him Matty Ice?
Honestly, feel like he looks, and this isn't personal between Matty Ice and myself, but I honestly think he looks like a penis.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as Chris Collinsworth, though.
Okay, that's up for debate. but he looked like a kind of a spoiled, screaming, pouty, screaming.
He just
penis.
Looks constantly distressed.
Yes. I imagine
no matter what's happening.
Yeah, in the grocery store line, he probably looks like that. And he's like, I had no coupons. I don't know.
And then the audibles, too. Like, how many? Like, he was just so jumpy.
Right.
And he was not calm. And isn't that the whole...
Yeah, that's the point of calling him Matty Ice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He does not have ice running in his veins. And then let's talk about the... while we're on the subject of officiating, we strayed off a little bit there.
Jeff Triplett looks like a slub, too. Like a cartoon version of a slub.
He looks like a bad dad. And I don't mean bad, like, absent. I mean there, but he, like, yells at you for stupid shit.
And he's just an idiot.
He's just a dumbass, and you know by the age of six that he's an idiot and that you shouldn't listen to anything that he ever says, and you learn nothing from him. And he makes you, like, start mowing the lawn.
Angry about everything.
And, yeah, and he might be visiting gay bathhouses on Thanksgiving evening while he's going
out to get scotch. Who's the black ref that really gets into calling? I like him, though. He's actually a good official. He just gets really into his calls.
I appreciate anybody that actually motions in a way where people in the nosebleeds can probably actually tell what
he's doing. Yeah, he's got the end beats.
He's the, he's the Steve Martin of referee, of officiating. If you've read the book Born Standing Up,
you understand he works for the last row. He really wants to make them a part of the show.
But I want to talk about the
Get out.
Randall Cobb. Sorry, we're watching the Brewers game right now.
The Brewers are losing 5-0, and Prince just hit a double, but we got to get the bats going, no outs. So, go
mild,
Brewers.
It was a very mild beast mode just then, because they're losing by 5. He didn't want to be too emphatic.
So, Randall Cobb signals a fair catch and gets tagged by special
teams. That was another bad officiating.
And then they threw a flag, and I think everybody in the world was thinking, oh, they're going to call a late hit or whatever.
Which it shouldn't have been. There was no late hit. He called his fair catch late.
That's what they thought. That's what we all thought.
It kind of looked like it.
And then,
at first.
And then, they not only did they not call that, which you're right, it was a little bit of a late, you know, fair catch signal, but they then gave us the penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct. When they showed the tape back, it was just a change of possession. The guys were coming onto the field.
That's what it was.
There was nothing.
There was no. It was the dumbest. One of the dumbest penalties I think I've ever seen.
Actually, as sportsmanlike as you can be, as in they were playing the fucking game
by the rules,
right? And we got a flag for that, which was utterly ridiculous.
Jeff Triplett should not be a referee anymore.
He
is an idiot.
Yes.
And when he did point, like we mentioned earlier, when he pointed to the right, he seems unorganized, and then, it was just terrible. I don't know. Yeah. Him and Ed Hockley, I think, needs to go too, just because he's too, Ed Hockley's just too buff to be a referee.
Makes me feel bad about myself.
Yeah.
Is there a number we can call?
To
get Triplett fired, and B, for steroids.
There actually is a number that you can call.
All in one?
Yes. If you're listening to the podcast now, and you would like to make a formal complaint, you dial the number 911 in any region that you're in, and you call them, and they will, and just tell them your grievances with the officiating in the National Football League, and they will take care of it.
You think Ed Hockley does steroids? He has. But, it's not illegal for refs to do steroids, right?
That's a question I don't know. Are steroids in this country illegal?
No.
In general?
Are they? I don't think they are. Are they?
I think
yeah, because you have to buy them from, a guy at a gym or something.
You need a prescription, for sure.
Right.
You can get them, if you have AIDS or something, they give them to people.
Let's put it this way. Yeah, it's kind of like, any of the pills that people abuse, the hydrocodone.
Yeah,
any kind of drug.
Anything like that. Those are legal drugs, but you have to be prescribed.
Prescribed.
So, yeah. I think that's how that
Ed Hockley,
what's going on?
Ricky Weeks just hit a 2-run shot.
Game
5-2.
This game is not over.
All right, Ricky Weeks.
Here comes Billy Brewer going to slide.
Yes, he is a beautiful, beautiful character.
All right, for those of you listeners,
it's not Billy Brewer, by the way.
Isn't it Billy Brewer?
No, it's Bernie.
Bernie.
Billy Brewer.
Jim
Brewer.
It's Jim Brewer.
Jim Brewer's going down the slide. That's a Matt Bad. Sorry about that.
I think they actually have Jim Brewer do, so there was some baseball game I remember where they... Oh, you know what? It was a minor league game.
What?
He does... my cousin works for a minor league baseball team, and they have Jim Brewer come up on the mega... Their big screen. It's not a jumbo screen. It's an actual old big screen.
It's a 13-inch Emerson with the VCR in the...
He's like, all right, they're the... What are they? The Hudson Valley Raccoons or something. The Renegades, but they're raccoons. And he's like, all right, Renegades. And he tries... It's Jim Brewer, and the fans never get into it. It's just Jim Brewer on the screen.
That's at the Riverbat Stadium in Louisville, Kentucky, watching the Milk Chugs run around the bases.
Who are they?
It's, well, it's their actual milk bottles.
Oh, I thought
there's
it was
chocolate
like
whole
Hooters girls.
2% and like
you said,
skim.
Milk jugs.
Well, the Brewers do the sausage races,
right? Right. Which is that's probably much more well received.
No,
than
I want
the milk
jugs. Chugs with two G's, chugs. Double G's.
It'd be funny if it was like really shitty and it was just like a bunch of milk, empty milk jugs, like taped on.
taped on the children.
Yeah,
they run around.
Yeah, nobody
bases.
In Kentucky drinks milk.
No, no. If they had bourbon jugs, yeah. That would have been that'd be.
Get what about my grandmother used to use empty milk jugs in the swimming pool for water aerobics?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's smart. It's frugal.
Yeah.
It's frugal.
She's smart.
And,
yeah, that shit's good.
And that's also that's the reuse and reduce, reuse, and recycle.
Yeah, yeah.
So your mother was very green.
Grandmother.
She's grandmother. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably
she's
not.
Got a good heart.
Yeah. She is a person.
Kind. She's a saint.
Well, so we've covered, I think, everything that went wrong in the game between the officiating and
the Dom Capers really like dialed it
they
in.
They turned
there.
It on. They turned it on.
And that was it didn't seem that, like it there, but like you know, they really did. 25 to nothing.
I do need to say that at one point, this is verbatim. You said this twice during the first half. The Packers have the worst defense in the league.
I said that.
You said that twice.
Oh my god!
I kept mumbling.
We'll get to
the Christmas.
Yeah, when I get scared in games, I say the weirdest things.
We'll get to that
in a
minute.
Really
we'll
weird.
That
things.
Yeah. A lot of
let's.
Those.
We're gonna talk about that last, but let's talk about really quickly the what the Green Bay Packers did right. Number one being they turned into a real like a very strong real defense in the second half of the game.
Yeah.
In the first half. It was kind of pathetic. It wasn't going well, but Dom Capers did what he had to do, and they stepped it up. Still, I'm a little upset that Matthews just hasn't been getting quite the glory that he got the last season so far, and hopefully somehow we'll figure out a way to get him a little more.
Well, you know what I think is going to happen, too? He is getting double-teamed. We talked about this a little bit last night. He is getting double-teamed, and... I think what's going to start happening is like other guys are going to start stepping up a lot
more,
Walden and Bishop
to distract
and,
a little bit.
Like those guys they're going to start using them more, and then they're like, oh wait, we can't double team Clay, and then you know he's just going to start.
Right.
I think he's going to later on in the season is going to really step it up, and then eventually win Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
I think he's fourth in tackles on the team. I think Bishop's like first.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop's first. He might be like third or so. I don't know who the other guys are. I know he's not second.
I'm a big fan of Clay.
I know everyone is. How can you not be a big fan?
I like to see a little more action out of him. I like to see him get a little more. I want to see him have some glory moments a little more. That's all. But Aaron Rodgers hit 12 different receivers.
Didn't even
overall
know they
in the
had
game.
12 defenders.
There was a guy, was it DJ Williams? Is that a guy he hit? Never heard of that guy.
I think he played point for Maryland at one point in the 90s.
Really?
That name sounds so familiar. I don't know where that guy came from.
That's just unbelievable. And then I think he surpassed, or no, he didn't surpass. He got the 100 touchdown passes.
Yeah, way to go, Aaron Rodgers.
Which is fantastic. Very good for that.
One of the guys on that list of 12 that he threw to that I really want to see start getting more carries is what's his name? Green from Hawaii, the rookie.
Yeah, you talked about
that guy. I just when he looks like he's going to break some big stuff.
He should do some things.
Yeah, he's going to do stuff.
He'll do things with like football.
He's going to be a professional NFL running back.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. But Starks, like, it looked like he was just getting destroyed last night, though. Like,
yeah.
And then at the end of the game, they're like, they talk about the 3.3 YPC.
Right.
And he was working really hard for his yards.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't. It's almost like what was the I guess was it against the Bears? No, maybe it was I think it was against
the Bears.
With Grant was had a great running game that day.
He was out. Grant did have a good run. He had 92 yards. I'm thinking of the Tim Tebow's.
Right, but it was almost like Starks played a game last night that was somewhere in between what he normally does and what Grant did versus the Bears. Mm-hmm. Like as far as
Second half, they ran the ball like 5 times.
Right, right. So, but yeah, there was. I wanted to point out. I just thought it was one of the most exciting points of the game. We said earlier was Peppra tipping the ball, and then
recovering it himself. He tipped it in the
air and then caught it and ran it back. I don't know the numbers on how far he ran it back. I just thought it was
about the 40, I think.
It reminded me of those times when you play sports as a kid, like backyard football. And you somehow do something like
it's
that.
It's the black kid no one could ever catch.
And you just think you're the awesomest shit on the field because it's... Well, you have the ability as a 12-year-old to do things like that. Yeah. But, it was one of those things where it was really fun to watch.
Well, it was exciting for us, too, because we knew Ken Fletcher had... he gave somebody, what was it, 13 points?
13 and a half,
which is ridiculous, Ken. I can't believe you did that. I appreciate it.
Well, listen, honestly thought that they would... I thought it was a fine bet, because he got five when the spread was six and a half. The official spread was
which
six
is
and
a good,
half,
yeah, which is fine. They covered.
He took 13 and a half at 5-1 odds, and, I mean, the chance of them beating them by 14 points is pretty fucking good. I mean, come on, it's the Atlanta Falcons. 14 points is not that hard.
But they're a playoff team.
And the way they came out, too, I knew they were going
to
come out.
They're a playoff team
that
we beat 48-12 or some shit.
We also lost to last year.
Yeah, but...
And they were pissed.
When we were as injured as we possibly could be, despite the Patriots game.
They have the ability to beat you.
Yeah.
And they're at home.
But so, like, Ken, if he would have ran... We thought he was going to... If he would have ran that in for a touchdown, that would have been great, because Ken would have won that bet in the last...
We wouldn't have seen a dime of that money, and we were so excited for it. We wouldn't have to score so bad.
And that's the thing. I want to bring that to the point. You were talking about how loud we were screaming.
Yeah.
Even though they are loud and they sing terrible karaoke, I feel like we should probably go ahead and formally apologize on the podcast to the family downstairs.
No, they listen.
The three little girls...
Yeah, big listeners.
The three little girls that live downstairs learned some new words last night. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
I will also accept that apology for an entire half of that game. Fucking terrified of you people.
Chris Dye was also here.
Yeah.
Oh, I felt bad because
he had to have thought we were the most insane people.
I realize that when there's new people. I don't want it. Like, if I ever somehow have a girlfriend one day,
that's the
like,
thing.
You can't come watch football games with me because you will leave.
Right.
Because I say such weird things.
There's this girl that I've kind of been talking to that's kind of cute. She's actually a Packer fan. And I really want to invite her to a game at Wade's, but I just think that's the worst idea ever because we're so rabid.
Yeah,
I think this is what I was thinking last night. If she's already a Packers fan, this helps. Sure. In that at Wade's, in that environment, you seem perfectly normal.
That's true.
I never think anything of any of your actions.
Right.
Last night, when it's just five of us in a quiet apartment.
Let's talk about Chris Walton now.
And there's screaming going on.
Oh my God,
throwing
Chris Walton.
Hats and curse words.
You know.
I said, dogs I dropped kicked. About F, how many F, F flat sodas did I
drop? Oh, you were all over it. This is the thing. I love you, and I love your heart, and I know your heart's in the right place. But it's insane when you say things like the season's over.
And the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, it's the first 5 minutes.
You're down 7-0.
And we're already 4-0. Like, we're going to the playoffs.
You're down 7-0.
The season's not
minutes.
Over. And we have a very good chance of being a Super Bowl repeat. Even if we lost to the Falcons. It doesn't matter.
Here's what I do when I watch football, and I don't know why this happens, but you know that thing which most of us normally can do? Where we think before we say things.
Yes.
That completely shuts off when I watch the Packers.
Right, right.
And I have no control over what comes out of my mouth.
Here's an example. Ryan Grant does the fumble. This was, I think, in the first quarter, right? This is the first possession. Ryan Grant fumbles the ball. And we normally go to Wade's. We've established this on the podcast before. We normally go to Wade's. We decided to have a cookout at the house.
Yeah, because
it was the late game. Wade's has been... kind of crazy, hard to get beers,
and we're
broke. So we decided we were going to do it at the house, have some cased meats on the grill, that kind of thing, and sit on a couch, be able to sit for a game.
Actually hear the announcers.
Actually be able to hear things and not listen to bad emo music. And,
well, we would have got to watch the game, listen to it, because it was the only game.
That's true. But either way, so here we are, and in the house, and after Ryan Grant's fumble, Chris Welty says, if this gets much worse, we need to go to Wade's. And we were like, just kind of shook it off. And he goes, because if they lose, that's why.
It's absolutely why.
I always believe in, like, if you don't do something that you normally do and they lose, it's because of that.
I'm going to say this.
Always.
I'm going to say this. I am mildly superstitious when it comes to these kind of things. I mean, like, I was hot in the apartment, but I didn't want to take my jersey off. I was a little wary because I wasn't wearing my green and yellow Chucks.
Yeah.
But it is a little insane. It's not a little. It's insane to say the reason we lose the
game
is because of where we're placed in the world. It has nothing to do with the playing.
It makes no sense, but it works. It is the truth.
Mick changed shirts, and that seems to help.
He did change shirts.
That did help. Yeah.
But I'm just going to go officially on the record, despite my admitted superstitious nature, our placement in the world, or whether we even exist and are breathing air anymore, has no bearing on whether or not the Packers win.
You're wrong.
He might be. I'm the same way about
things.
But
where you're wrong.
I will say this: I do believe wholeheartedly in the effect. I'm somewhere in the middle because I'm now I'm backsliding because I will say that when I say to people we won the Super Bowl and they go we, I'm like we. I was there, and my heart was in that motherfucker.
Oh, absolutely. I always say, we're doing a podcast about the team. Yes. Like, that shows some dedication.
We did, yes.
And
But there's a balance there. But it is funny. Well, I don't want to say funny, but it's interesting when you slam your hat in the ground and declare that the season's over.
Does Chris listen to our podcast?
Chris Dye?
Yeah.
He said he listened to the first one. He might listen to this one.
Yeah, I want him to listen. I'm sorry, Chris, if you're listening to this, because, like, I come on. My mom, I watched a football game when I was in Florida at my mom's house and had some people over the Giants game last year.
Uh-huh.
And that's what my mom said to me. She said, you say some really weird things when you watch football.
And that's your mother. She's required to love you.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm worried. I'm legitimately worried. I'm going to be in Louisville for the Bears game over Christmas, and I'm going to be watching it at my grandmother and grandfather's house, I'm sure, because they have, like, every... My grandfather's a huge football fan, and Iowa fan. He went to Iowa State, but... I'm going to be watching the game there, and I'm going to be wearing my jersey and all that stuff. I'm going to be Packered out watching this, and I know my grandma's going to enjoy my enthusiasm, but I think the rest of the family, I kind of just hope they go get ice cream for a few hours, because I don't want to cuss, because they're super Christian and this and that, and I don't want to, but I know I'm going to be really fighting the urge to, and that's when the superstition's going to come in. I'm going to be like, I'm in New York.
Yeah, I'm not going to be in New York
either. Kentucky, we're not at Wade's. It's the Bears. It's Christmas. It's just a lot of bad mojo going on.
There's actually, in Sarasota, where my family lives, there's actually a really awesome, it's a Packers and Bears bar. It's a very fun bar.
That's interesting.
To go to.
I'd like to see
And everyone's very nice there and gets along. No, it's pretty neat for the most part.
All living in the same territory.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Bears are playing right now. It was 7-0 Detroit when I checked. We're actually rooting for the Bears tonight.
The one thing I wanted to bring
up, to do it,
and it was pretty much the last thing I wanted to bring up. And we'd like to stray off football topic towards the end of the thing. Like to fill in with a little.
I think
bit
this is the most we've ever talked about football.
Yes,
we
officially
good job.
We officially have an outline sitting in front of us this time
because Mickey's not here.
A little more organized.
Gets us off topic.
I'm sure that's not
by not talking.
You know, Coldplay.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about. Somebody mentioned bullying earlier. I think was that you, Matt, being bullied as a kid or something.
I used to be a bully.
You were talking about it, Chris.
Yeah,
you said something about it.
I don't remember
saying anything.
You did. You said something. Oh, the Brian Urlacher. There was a guy.
I
wanted to bring up just on a personal. I like to do little personal things here and there. do you guys have? And this is I'm springing this on you because we didn't talk about this before, but. Think on it for a second. I have a story that I'll tell
about bullying.
Being bullied. Yeah, just the most maybe the most terrifying thing that's ever happened. Just one story from your childhood that that you can reflect upon, you could tell in some detail. I'll tell mine first, so you guys have a little bit of time to think. But I have a birthmark in my left eye that makes the left left side of my eye look it makes my eye look half brown, basically. When I was a kid, I was actually in high school. Somebody on the bus pointed out he noticed it, and he says, "Oh, you have two different colored eyes. That's the same as my dog at home, right?" Says a husky. And this was the thing. I thought this kid was my friend because he lived on my street, and we used to hang out and play basketball and stuff. And then he sells me out on the husky line, and then he really stepped it up. And he wasn't necessarily a bully, but he stepped it up because the next day he brought me a milk bone. it's fine. He brought me a milk bone.
He's an evil genius.
And everybody on the bus thought that was really funny. They thought it was so funny. That was a Friday. They thought it was so funny. They had over the weekend because they all went and stocked up on milk bones. Because Monday I got on the bus, and everyone on the bus threw milk bones at me.
You were in high school.
This was in high school. I was probably like a sophomore in high school. And everybody threw
that's
milk
way too
bones
old to be doing that.
And that shit happened for a long time, and then it finally escalated. The bus driver never did anything until the day that it escalated so bad that finally they were literally winging D batteries at the back of my head.
Wow. Were you 6'4 at this point?
I was 6'4
you
and
didn't fight
like
any
187. I was 187, 6'4, and I wasn't. I'm not. Listen,
fighter.
People look at me and they're like, "Oh, you're a big guy and this and that." But I'm not.
I'm the same
a violent
way.
Person. Like
I've been in one fight my whole entire life.
This is the thing. My parents instilled in me a profound respect for people, despite what I say. I'm a big talk and no action. I say a lot of shit, but I don't. Not that I've never been in a fight. I've been in a few fights. I've handled my business before, but at the same time, I was always taught if you can talk your way out of it, and you can avoid it.
Absolutely,
and that's the way it is. So yes, I eventually
especially
got
as an adult now.
Right, got D batteries wung or winged at the back of my head after being called a husky.
That's awful.
And all those things.
It was like you were at a Philly game.
Yeah. Finally the bus driver stepped in, which didn't really help my street cred any. But it did stop me from becoming mentally retarded
with the bus driver hanging out with him.
Yeah,
sure. He was your only friend.
Yeah. But anyway, that's my story of bullying, which was a lot of fun.
I used to be a bully.
Really?
But like not like where I would physically like gasp. I used to like because I was a fat, kid with probably self-esteem issues and shit.
Just every bully.
And would pick on the fucking almost suicidal kids, like the really bottom of the line, like kids with no friends.
Right.
And then because I wasn't cool enough to be a popular kid.
Right. So
there's a lot of kids in my school. Like I still had friends, but I'm gonna pick on I was a dick. Like probably not freshman and sophomore year of high school, and I started smoking pot and then became a nicer person and
right.
Like. I wanted to be cool and popular freshman and sophomore year.
Uh-huh.
Is there one particular time? I was mean to... I'm trying to think. Oh, there was this one girl. Her name was... I don't want to say her name. But,
yeah, don't say her name. Not that she's already here.
That's not fair.
For her.
I do, but she had a really funny last name that we just... And she looked like... We used to call her... She reminded us of one of the Koopas from Mario. Uh-huh. And we used to call her Koopa because she had like a real like pear shaped kind of. She looked like a Koopa, and we used to go to her house like every Friday night and just go like dump her fucking trash garbage into her like dump her trash cans over and stuff.
I really hope her parent or like dad wasn't abusive.
They were really rich, that was all right.
He probably was just absent.
But like I just don't remember the things that I used to say mean things to. I was not the nicest person. I used to pick on kids a lot.
Yeah. How's that treating you now?
I'm pretty nice. I'm a nice guy now, I think, right?
Yeah,
for the most part.
For sure. It actually surprises me that not your physical size, and I can see maybe the self-esteem thing coming into play with the bullying thing, but you're a pretty soft-hearted dude. Like it does kind of surprise me to hear that you were at one point in.
And I mean, I was also going through a lot of shit at that time too.
Sure.
Like, I mean, I had a shitty stepmom that I fucking hated, and she was a drunk, and like I lived with her and my dad was actually a pretty much like an abused husband almost.
You know?
Like, she used to beat the shit out of my dad.
Wow.
And, like, dealing with stuff like that and then just being kind of a chunky kid and, like, right. you know. No Goyles like me.
right.
They don't like me now, but at least, you know,
right.
I can drink beer. legally.
You can burn off the pain some other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Matt? You got any, you got a reminiscent glow in your eye right
God,
now?
God, I just... Thinking back on it, like, I got glasses when I was 7, and I always was... I was never the smallest kid. I was always of height as everybody else, but I've always
right.
been slight
right.
in frame. So I was, you know, not a doofus-looking kid. I just had glasses and was not big, so therefore I
think
was,
I might have seen one of these early
yeah,
pictures.
I had,
of you.
Oh, they're big, chunky-ass glasses.
With the lasers in the background?
Yeah.
The school
I didn't know how to dress myself.
Oh, those they don't do those anymore, do you?
No, they absolutely
they
should.
They should, ironically, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love those stupid pictures.
I like the ones where it's like a garden in the back.
Yeah. thought I was being badass with the lasers. They didn't seem to help my credibility any. Oh, God, no. The middle school years for me were... That's the stereotype that they form your personality. Like, if I hadn't have been ragged on every single day in middle school, I would be a boring motherfucker.
Right.
Like,
right.
I have a sense of humor now because of those years.
Right.
But now, that was... Bullying for me was an everyday thing.
Sure.
We, just getting on the bus, like another bus story was... When we would get on or get off the bus, me, my brother, and his two best friends who were older than me also, they would chant "dork stop."
Oh, that's clever.
The dork stop.
The dork stop. We were the dork stop, like getting on or off, and they would never let any of us sit down.
Right.
This was every single day, and almost every single day. Somebody would try and come from behind and try and pull my pants down.
Oh.
So every single day for middle school, I had to cinch the shit out of my belt.
Yeah.
Every single day so nobody would see my balls from behind.
I feel like the bus...
That never worked, though. I never got pants because
right.
I was a smart kid.
Right. I had the same thing. People used to try to trip me on the bus all the time.
Constantly.
And I'm thankful for it because I'm... Despite my large frame, I'm actually quite graceful on my feet. So, like, now in, like, icy conditions, it's, like, it's almost impossible to trip me or have me fall. Like, I don't slip. I don't, you know, I'll slip, but I will never fall. But I was going to say, I feel like the bus is kind of like this no man. It's basically the equivalent to, like, the recreation yard in prison.
Because,
you're not in school and you're not at home. So, it's this weird no man's land. If anything goes, the bus driver is probably drunk or methed out, and they just have given up on life.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way in hell that they're actually caring about what's going on, as long as they're not going to get called out for it. But yeah, the dork stop chants and the milk bone
throwing. They never did a thing, and this lasted years.
I think the only reason my bus driver stopped the D battery throwing is the D batteries ended up by them. Yeah, and it could have damaged the bus. They didn't give a shit about my skull.
I didn't take... I saw the most fucked up thing I ever remember from school. I didn't take a part of this. This was in elementary school. I remember this. This kid was, like, probably 7, 8 years old, and his fucking, his dad just died, and there was, like, kids, like, sitting around him, like, actually, like, there was, like, maybe, like, 5 or 6 kids doing it, "Your dad just died."
Oh, come on.
Like, it's I didn't, me and this other kid actually told him, you know, we stuck up for the kid and shit. That actually happened.
That's gotta be one of the worst things I've ever heard.
And the kid just like runs home fucking crying.
Of course he did.
And like, it's just, I can't, like, I'm just like, fuck. Like, kids are like,
that's terrible.
Jesus. That's terrible. I remember that. That's one of the things I'm glad I knew better than that.
I think I've repressed the majority of my stories.
Right.
I have more that I'm just not thinking of. I was in a wedding 2 weekends ago, and at the end of the reception, they actually rented a school bus to get everybody back to the hotel. And as soon as I stepped foot on that thing, I got the shakes.
Right.
Like, it all came flooding back. I was like, the smell was the same. Like, the texture of the seats.
Oh, every bus, every school bus in America smells
I got shaky.
Yeah, there's
like,
something material that the seats are made out of.
That
like,
fake leather.
I was expecting somebody to push me down. Like,
right.
I reverted 20 years.
Right.
It was not the best at all. I was a little drunk at the time and just spiraling into the fetal position.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Those were the worst things that ever happened to me, though, as far as getting picked on. It's like, oh, the popular kids won't accept me because I'm weird and fucking, I did get kind of cool towards the end of senior year of high school, though. I started getting a little, just a little bit of attention. Like, got your foot in the door. He smokes pot.
He's a funny guy.
Parties. Look, I was at parties, you know? Yeah.
It's all it takes.
The worst thing I did, and this wasn't actually my fault, it was kind of my fault because I was involved in the scheme. But I don't know how many people have had this or done this. It's the whole, like, Matt, let's imagine Chris were in the lunchroom and you walk up to him and you say, "Hey, Matt over here says his dad can do 1,000 push-ups in one sitting." And then he's, and, you know, Chris is like, "What? That's bullshit." And then Chris will come over, you're like, go ask him and see what he says. So he'll come over and say, "Hey, man, how many push-ups can your dad do?" And you're like, "Oh, my dad lost his arms in Vietnam." Like, to fuck with him, right? Well, there was this kid, literally, and this was set up. We would do this all the time. Like, "Oh, how fast can your sister run? My sister's in a wheelchair," that kind of shit. But there was this one time where we've been doing this so regularly that I wasn't paying attention who these victims were. They would just have somebody come over to me, and we knew the cues automatically. And there was this one kid, I won't say his name, but he... his dad had, like, 2 weeks before this, gotten in a showdown with the police and had brandished a gun and was firing at the police, and they killed him. The cops killed him with, like, he had an AK-47 and they seriously fucking killed him.
Well, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, naturally. I'm not...
If you're pointing at AK... Get into
the no, not pointing. He was shooting at the cops.
Oh, well, yeah, like, shooting.
It was...
Yeah, you're going to get shot.
But either way, it was national news.
Yeah.
And it was especially known in our high school that this had just happened. And I'm sitting there at lunch one day, and this kid walks up to me and says, "Hey, man, how long can your dad hold his breath underwater?" And that's the cue for "my dad's dead." And my friends are standing behind him, and I have no choice but to say, "Dude, my dad's dead." And he just looks at me and he's like, "Yeah, mine too. He just got shot by the cops." And I'm just like...
Wait, he asked you?
He came up and asked me.
Well, you know what, then that's his fault. He should, if he was playing that game...
No, he didn't know the game. They told him to say it. They set him up to come ask me. My friends set him up.
Oh, your friends are dicks.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't my fault, but I had to...
No friends?
You didn't have to. Well, I had to say, like, 50 seconds.
You walk away.
I said, he could hold his breath for...
Or you should walk away.
You're absolutely right. Well, I was eating tater tots.
He'll be like, well, that's boring. He's going to walk away.
Yeah, but my friends were standing behind him. I felt the need to deliver, even though it was a terrible situation.
The need to perform took you over.
I guess, which I didn't have at the time, really, but I was terrified of performing. But either way, I felt terrible about that. Oh, yeah, he started crying. I should point that out. He actually started crying and kind of ran out.
I just thought of an embarrassing high school thing that happened. My junior year of high school, I was on the high school improv team, this spontaneous combustion.
For someone who hates improv, that's a terrible name.
I didn't get to come up with
You're
it.
Officially my, banned from my in front
teacher,
of improv.
My high school. This is when I quit improv,
yeah,
too, and
been.
Will never do it again.
Should
have
been.
But we got to, and this is so terrible, where we got to perform. Once a year, our team would perform, and the only time we performed was at the Mr. Riverview competition, which was a beauty pageant. We had one for the girls. We had a Miss and Mr. Riverview, like, which was basically a beauty pageant for the most popular kids in the high school. And we performed at the intermission of that and got booed off the stage.
No way.
Oh. <high school. laughs> Were their parents there and stuff?
Yeah.
And you got booed off?
Yeah.
How do you get booed off when their parents there? That's
terrible. You'd be really bad at
improv. I did it.
You just, it was so bad and like... just like, I think probably even parents were mooing, too.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. Yeah. How does that happen?
Well, because it's at a beauty... First off, like, it's parents that their children are in a fucking high school beauty pageant.
Right.
Or whatever. So they're already,
the worst parents
in the world already.
See, you
and what
that.
A shitty thing to have in a high school, really, if you think about it. And that goes on.
Yeah.
Well, we had a Miss Eastern High School. We didn't have the dude version.
Yeah.
I think the shittiest thing we had was we had a lip syncing contest one time.
Oh, air bands.
That I enrolled myself in alone. I didn't really have any friends in high school.
You have a good lip syncing contest.
I lip sync Twist and Shout by the Beatles. I was up there alone, and I was just doing the twist move. My mom, this is the thing. I love my mom very much.
You were how old?
This was in sixth grade.
Oh, okay, that's not okay. That bad. That's okay.
Yeah, I thought you said high school.
No, this, I'm sorry.
Maybe I didn't
even guess that. Twist senior year.
Senior year.
Twist it, guys.
No wonder they throw milk bones at
me. This is all coming together.
Well, this was setting the stage for the milk bone saga of my life. But yeah, I did Twist and Shout for the audience. Full
lip-syncing
song.
It.
Lip-syncing, yeah. Just standing there doing the twist move and lip-syncing. Was all I did, and it was I didn't get booed off the stage. Thankfully, everybody just sat there and stared at me. Silence and tepid applause at the end. Yes, yeah, not even a slow clap. That's even too profound.
So we had the air bands in high school. The same thing.
Uh-huh.
Like,
wow.
And we had this in high school, but it was supposed to, like, there was this girl and a couple of her friends that did Lady Marmalade,
really, you were in high school.
So they did that, and this girl, really disgusting-looking girl, that did it, she was wearing black spandex and, like, all black, and then she did a tumble, like, where two people were holding her arms, and then, like, would do, like, a flip, and then as she did the flip, didn't realize that her fucking spandex were so goddamn see-through, and, like, just a shot her whole entire back half and cooter. Like, in a fucking, wearing,
black
like, wearing a, in, wearing a G-string. Like, you see your whole entire ass. And then the whole entire auditorium, sold out high school event, big deal, just starts cracking up. They just lose their shit. Like, everyone's just freaking out the whole entire, like, the next 20 minutes. And you just look at her face, she has no idea why everyone's laughing.
Well, I'll tell you, this is what I took from that story. If I ever start a morning radio show, my radio name and my psychic will be Back Half and Cooter.
I want to be Cooter real bad.
It's Back Half and Cooter.
It's the morning drive. Quack, quack, quack.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
I think that's a good no tender.
I think that's it. Yeah. That's it. Thank you for listening to the Green and Gold Show here at South Slope Studios, Brooklyn, New York. We've been us. You've been you. Thank you for listening.
Have a good morning, afternoon, or good night, whatever time you're listening to this. That was pretty terrible.
Yeah, it sounded just like Edward R. Murrow.
That was the Truman Show.
Oh.
Kind of.
Which movie is that?
Seven.
All righty then.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye.